Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
So the title of today's message is Relationships, What's Right and What's Wrong. You know, relationships are a journey through life with people that will affect your future. There will be right and wrong influences on the road to success, and God wants us to discern the difference. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Happy are those who don't listen to the wrong people, who don't go where sinners go and don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night." And verse 3 says, "And everything they do will succeed." Thank God for those kinds of people. Unfortunately, most people who ignore God are blind to toxic relationships when they approach them. God's purpose for relationships is to support His prophetic plan for your life. And He describes that as a right relationship. And this is a definition that I've been giving you as a helpmeet, one who always protects, supports, encourages, and assists your life's purpose. Right relationships are God connections chosen because of your destiny. Because there's a prophetic plan for your life, and that plan that God has for your life is complete with divine connections for your success. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and 9, two people are better off than one. Well, they can help each other succeed. Verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Without the Bible, we're blind to toxic ties. Because the truth is, some relationships are sent by the devil to ruin us, to destroy our success. And too many have experienced what I'm talking about. If any of you have ever been in what you found out was a wrong relationship, you don't have to raise your hand. You might feel that way about the person sitting next to you. But the truth is, many of us have been in wrong relationships. Let me give you an example. Delilah was Samson's toxic relationship. We know what happened there. And Solomon's wives brought judgment upon him and his kingdom. And this is the reason why we must use the Bible as God's instruction manual for our relationships. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Now, I repeat, the people that you choose for a close relationship may influence your eternal future, and that's something for you to think about. Don't just let anybody into your life. And don't ignore God's warnings about this whole subject on relationships. I'll never forget, I was teaching a message like this some time ago, and a young lady, she stood up in the church weeping. Now, I'm preaching, and she stands up weeping, and she says, "Preacher, I did what you said or what you're preaching about right now. It broke my heart, and I'm miserable." She was so overcome with the words that I was speaking because it was her experience. So you need to understand, this is serious. People really can ruin your life. your relationships can bring harm to your life. And when I say ruin your life, look, God can restore and God can help us, but many times we'll go through lots of pain from being in the wrong relationship. And if you've ever been there, let the church say amen. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And over the past few weeks, I have been talking about divine principles about relationships, so I want to just mention them quickly. I'm going to begin with 1 through 5 and number 6. We started on last time and we're going to continue. So the first principle is establish boundaries. Do not allow anybody or everybody to have unlimited access in your life. You really have to discern who you allow to become close to you. Number 2, closest associates agree with your Christian worldview. Number 3, do not be unequally yoked because of the transference of evil spirits. And I've always made a point about that. So we'll go right to number 4. Make God your strongest soul tie. Number 5, recognizing divine relationships. God actually sends people into your life for your success, for your comfort, for your help. You need to recognize who those people are and keep them in your life as long as God wants them there. And we're right at number 6, follow Jesus's relationship example. Now in Romans chapter 8 and 29, it says, God knew his people in advance and chose us to become like his son. God wants us to have relationships like Jesus had. It's important for us to realize that Jesus knew his identity and his purpose, and so must we. God wants us to follow Jesus and his behavior toward people, because relationships are to be done with eternity in mind. Now, this is a spiritual teaching, and I am praying that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to us as we talk about these truths from the Word of God. I want you to repeat after me, relationships are to be done with eternity in mind. Look at the person next to you and say, your relationships are to be done with eternity in mind. You know, Jesus said in John 17 and 4, when he was praying to God the Father, he says, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. He was talking about every aspect of his life, especially relationships, because he really was talking about his disciples and his effect in the world. As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus focused on God, his Father. I want you to think about this. Young people, think about this. Jesus is 12 years old, and his focus was God. His focus was doing the will of God. His closest relationships were his parents. And they lost Jesus when they went to Jerusalem. And when they realized that he wasn't with them anymore, they had to return and go back and find him. And guess where they found him? Right in church. Right in the temple. Speaking to the scholars. Speaking to the rabbis and the teachers. And his mother said, don't you realize we were worried about you? We were so upset when we couldn't find you. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in Luke 2 and 49. He said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? In other words, he was saying, I was right here in my Father's house. You didn't have to go anywhere else. I'm right here in church. I'm right here in the synagogue. Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? Young people, right now at your age, you need to be about your father's business. You need to be involved with God, because God has a perfect plan for your life, for success, but you'll never find it if you're not about his business. If you're not spending time with him in prayer, if you're not spending time in the word of God, which is so important. To Jesus's relationships meant God is first. God is my priority. And John 8:29, Jesus said, the Father hasn't left me alone because I always do the things that are pleasing him. See, Jesus always made God his priority. And because of that, God was always with him. Young people, middle-aged people, more mature people, if you want God to be with you, make him your priority. The Bible says God honors those who honor him. In Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, this is when he's supposed to be going to the cross, and it's going to happen very soon. Jesus prays this prayer, Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, your will must be done, not mine. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? During a time of crisis, during a time where it was going to cost you something if you obeyed God. Jesus never lost sight of who he was and his mission, and he always surrendered to the will of God. He never allowed relationships to interfere with his divine purpose.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
The Bible gives us an incident to show us just how determined Jesus was and how he really felt about doing the will of God and who the people that God had sent to him, what they really meant in his life. In Matthew 12:46, it says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. So someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. Now listen to what Jesus asked. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and those listening, and he said, look, these are my mother, my brothers, and my sister. And anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my family. Now, many times the body of Christ are closer to you than your natural family. Let the church say amen. You know that's the truth. You know, it's so important for us to realize that, because Jesus was saying that your closest relationships must be with those who align with God's divine plan for your life. God wants us to follow Jesus's example with relationships. Now, I know many of us go way off the reservation with this, We look at people that we have no business being with. They're not like us. They don't agree with us. They don't agree with the word of God. But we're attracted to them. Or we like the way they talk. Or we like the way they walk. Or they're a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. See, but the word of God brings us back to the center. What are relationships really supposed to be about? The people that come into your life really should be supporting God's will and plan for your life, not taking you away from church, not taking you away from the word of God. Well, I know you have Bible study, but hey, you go every week. Come on, let's go somewhere. We can go to a movie. Let's go to a play. Let's go somewhere. See, and you not wanting to hurt their feelings, you go. And you know what God says? Oh, look at that. How does this person have priority over me? And the Lord gets his feelings hurt. Jesus was saying those closest to you in your relationships must align with God's divine plan for you. Stop giving access to people who do not align themselves with God's plan for your life. That's a temptation. That person wasn't sent by God. Sent from the other place. Oh, now, Pastor, yeah, I'm telling you. God has divine connections for your success, and the devil sends people to ruin your life. And you need to realize that. Don't be naive. We talk about family and Jesus saying, well, these are my family, those that are around me listening to the word of God. They're more important than my natural family. Oh, by the way, in John 7 and 5, it says, Jesus's brothers did not believe in him. You have relatives who don't believe in you. You have relatives who have put you down and tormented you since you were a child. You know it's the truth. And your godly family, your church family, are closer than they are. Jesus said, well, let it be. Well, let it be. Be truthful. We need to warn our loved ones that they need to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, but you don't have to put your head on a chopping block for them. You don't have to go way out of your way and do things that you know you shouldn't do. Well, I feel I shouldn't, but it's my brother, but it's my sister. So you must discern relationships and how Jesus handled relationships is what the Bible tells us. Jesus knew his identity, and that was that God sent him to establish a salvation relationship with the world. And he never compromised his devotion to God or sinned. And I need to mention something here now because it's an amazing thing. The world in which we live now are saying all kinds of lies about Jesus. One of the lies is that he sinned. Let me read to you from a survey. It says, among the scripture engaged of all ages, 18% believe Jesus was a sinner. The devil is a liar. The American Bible Society survey reveals nearly 40% of Generation Z believe Jesus was a human and sinned just like other people here on the earth. Young people, the Bible says Jesus never sinned. For if he sinned, he could not save the world. If Jesus sinned, he needed a savior himself. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Now, Generation Z's are ages 12 to 27. That's a big gap. I mean, that's a lot of people there. So let me give you some scriptures that once again affirm Jesus never sinned. 1 John 3 and 5, it says, you know that Jesus appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Hebrews 4 and 5, 15 says, Hebrews 4 and 15 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And then 1 Peter 2 and 22 says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. I rest my case. I can go on and on. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. Let's see, one, two, three. We cannot allow people to just talk about Jesus any way they want. I'm telling you guys, you've got to stand up for the Lord. You know what Jesus said? He said, those who are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of when I come back with the holy angels of God. When you hear people disrespecting the Lord, when you hear people lying about who he was, when you hear people saying he was a sinner, you need to challenge them and say, no, he wasn't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is the Son of God. He never sinned, and he never will. And you need him as your Savior and Lord, because you're going to hell if you don't. You can just throw that in there. Every relationship Jesus made was based upon his identity and his purpose. And that's what we have to think about, folks. We really have to get serious about our relationships and think about our identity. Who are we? Do we really belong with these people? Are they really a part of the people I should be hanging out with and going places with? Jesus realized and always remembered that he was the Son of God. He came into this world to save the world. He had a purpose. Now, the Pharisees and the religious leaders criticized him because he was associating with tax collectors who were, in their opinion, the worst people in the world, and sinners. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, it talks about this. It says, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other notorious sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why did your teacher go and eat with such people? And when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, just the sick. But this is interesting. In verse 13, he says, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners to repentance. How difficult it is to convert a person who thinks they're righteous, who thinks they're okay. Well, it's all right. I do all the things I'm supposed to do, and it's all right. I don't need to do what you're telling me. I don't need to pray and read the Bible every day. I'm a pretty good person myself, see? Jesus also said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. The relationships that Jesus established were always relationships connected to his purpose to share the gospel with others. Now, I know this is limiting the number of people that you will have a relationship with, but God did say he wanted you to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. This concludes part 7 of today's message. Join us Monday for part 8. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message today is Principles for Relationships, What's Right and What's Wrong, Part 7. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and I don't know what you're going through today, but perhaps you're feeling just a little bit down. Others are feeling really depressed. I want to pray a prayer that God will strengthen you, that his hope will brighten your soul and your mind, and that joy will come into your heart right now. Father, your word says, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me. Father, I pray right now for people who are feeling sad. People are feeling depressed. People are just feeling down because of some situation, some circumstance. I rebuke the attack on their lives. And Lord, Father, I pray for the joy of the Lord. Lord, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let their joy return. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them, help them, bless them, be with them. We just thank you today for the answer. We thank you that all is well. Bless them and bless their families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.